Tuesday morning after. It is 8:05 on this Tuesday morning. Just in time for Christmas, the National Labor Committee, along with China Labor Watch, released a comprehensive report on abuses of workers of Walmart in China. Walmart is now the largest retailer in the world. Its revenues in 2002 alone hit 245 billion U.S. Workers in China sweatshops were paid 34 cents an hour, according to this report. On the phone with us is the director of the National Labor Committee, Charles Kernighan. He is joining us from New York City. Charles Kernighan, good morning, and thank you for being with us today.
Hey, good morning. It's great to be here.
Can you provide us with a short summary, or rather a summary, of the findings of this report?
Well, it didn't shock us, but we looked at one particular factory, I think unprecedented. We looked at the Liangcheng toy factory in the south of China, big factory, 3,000 workers. We watched it for the last 4 years. Walmart's been producing there, remote-controlled toy trucks, radio-controlled toy trucks. And over that four-year period, Walmart did absolutely nothing to improve conditions or guarantee respect for worker rights. So, in fact, the workers were working from 8 o'clock in the morning until 9 o'clock at night, 13 hours a day. This was routine. They would do this 6 and 7 days a week. They'd be at the factory up to 91 hours a week. They'd be working up to 77 hours a week. Workers were being paid, like you mentioned, below the legal minimum wage in China, which is 41 cents an hour in the south of China. That's already below subsistence level wages. They paid these workers 34, 33 cents. They were forced to work off the clock at 10 o'clock. They had to punch their time cards out and then continue working off the clock. So we really don't know how many exact hours they worked. The workers told us they were forced to work often to midnight, sometimes to 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. Women were denied their maternity benefits, which would be 3 months' leave with pay. Workers had no statutory holidays. Workers didn't get paid leave to get married or to bury dead family members. They had absolutely no rights. They were working in the spray paint department. It's almost impossible to imagine. But when they painted the bodies of these toy cars, women would have to do 2,000 trucks a day. That's one every 250 every hour, one every 14.4 seconds, just relentless. And the workers were paid 18 cents. For every truck they assembled. We bought one of these trucks in Walmart for $64.97, meaning the wages came to just 0.3% of the retail price. They had no union. They had no rights. They live in a state of terror. They're housed in primitive dormitories. They're fed food all the workers describe as awful. They talk about just complete exhaustion. Their lives have no meaning. They live to work. This is what we see in factories producing for Walmart. This is like a concrete image of what's going on all across China.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned that Walmart did not change their practices throughout the investigation. I'm wondering what exactly, in what context the investigation was taking place in terms of were any worker, as we have seen in the case of in Central America with other sweatshops and so on, where workers are told that they are going to be fired if they organize a union or if they complain about the workforce or if they're put on any sort of blacklist. Does that sort of thing exist in China as well?
Yes, yes. It's, of course, much worse. in China, I mean, of course, there is no freedom of the press or religious freedoms or any kind of freedom, intellectual freedom. There's certainly no freedom to organize. So many workers in China have no idea what an independent union is. They're quite young. They don't know the great history of China. Many workers think a union is a breakfast meeting. They have no idea because they've stomped it out. And so the workers feel in a trap. There's no place to turn. I mean, here they're producing goods for the largest retailer in the world. Here they're producing goods in this factory year after year, and their rights are being systematically violated on a routine basis with complete impunity. Walmart does what it wants. Then Walmart says to the North American people, look, we've got a code of conduct. Trust us. We respect human rights and women's rights and the rights of young people and the rights of workers, and we're going to monitor our factories. But, of course, the monitoring visits that Walmart does are a complete sham. The visits are announced in advance. They come, they show up after a 10-day advance notice. They're there for 1 day. Usually it's one person. Now Walmart's bragging they're sending two people out. They go into the factory. The factory's all prepared. It's been cleaned. The dangerous chemicals have been hidden. I've got our foods in the cafeteria. And every single worker knows if they say one single word of truth about that factory, they'll be fired the minute the monitors walk out the door. So the whole thing is a game. So Walmart is, with the mouth, is talking about human rights. But in reality, what Walmart does, and as the largest retailer in the world, they're leading this race to the bottom. Their focus exclusively on constantly slashing production costs is leading to wages being lowered all across the developing world. Wages which are already below subsistence level levels, these workers are being driven deeper into misery, working longer hours. They have absolutely no rights. You're talking about 80-hour work weeks and the denial of every fundamental human, women's, and worker rights. This is why we're saying that the bargains that Walmart offers, these are bargains of misery. And if the Canadian people and the American people, the people in the United States, if they could see with their own eyes what's going on and put a human face on this bargain, they wouldn't want it. They'd walk away from it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm wondering also, I mean, since you said there's been no response whatsoever, what about now that the report has been released? Has Walmart responded whatsoever? Or again, they just really don't care and they can do whatever they want?
I mean, well, they've changed public relations firms, so now they respond a little bit because they're under increasing pressure. In the past, we found a factory in China called Kangxi, which was making women's pocketbooks for Walmart. This is like going back a few years, 2000, I believe it was. And the workers there were being forced to work from 7 o'clock in the morning to 11 o'clock at night, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, for an average wage of 3 cents an hour. For the official 98-hour work week, they got paid $2.94. When we released that report, Walmart said that we were lying. They never used that factory. It was completely baloney, and we were just making it up. And they would have gotten away with it, except a very radical journal came to us called Business Week, and they said, do you mind if we follow up on that factory? We gave them our contacts. They went to the factory in the south of China. Of course Walmart was in the factory. They confirmed everything we said. In fact, we left out child labor and routine beatings in our report. And when Business Week went back to Walmart, went back to Jay Allen, the vice president of Walmart for communications, and they just said to him, look, why were you lying? Of course you're in that factory. And he said, well, we were lying because we're defensive about the sweatshop issue. So here you have the largest company in the world flat out lying to the people of North America. But I think Walmart's been caught enough times that in response to these reports, Walmart just says, yes, we're in those factories. They don't lie anymore because they know we can nail them. So they say, yes, we're in those factories, but we've worked with our contractors and we're sure we've made all the improvements. That the rights of the workers are being respected now, and you just have to trust us. It's the same thing over and over again. And what we've said to Walmart, if your factories are so good, and your monitoring is so good, and your code of conduct is so good, then why don't you release to the Canadian people just the names and addresses of the factories in China that make the goods you want the people in Canada to buy? That would be a very simple step, very doable step. You could do it with the press of a finger, print out the factory list. What are you trying to hide? And Walmart to this day, of course, refuses to release even the names and addresses of those factories because it's easier and more convenient for Walmart to exploit the rights of teenage women who are locked behind barbed wire in hidden factories across China. That's easy. So right now, what you have out of Walmart is just public relations. There is, in our experience with Walmart, not just in China, but in Haiti and in Bangladesh and many other countries, there essentially is no commitment whatsoever to human rights or women's rights or to the rights of children. None. Zero. This thing is driven by just this race to the bottom, slashing production costs, putting other people out of business, driving costs down constantly, so that their focus is really just on lowering wages and rolling back respect for human, women's, and worker rights all across the world. And frankly, Walmart this year, our estimate, they'll import from China. They're the largest importer in the world of goods made in China. They're going to import $25, $26 billion worth of goods this year made in China.
We're speaking with Charles Kernaghan of the National Labor Committee. He is joining us by telephone from New York. We're speaking about the report and the findings of the National Labor Committee along with the China Labor Watch vis-a-vis Walmart's practices in China. Charles Kernaghan, thank you very much for speaking with us today.
Thank you very much for doing this.
Have a good day.
Thank you.